Well, good morning, everybody. So today I'm going to talk about a study that my graduate student, recent graduate student, she finished her PhD in March of this past year, Joy Yang, had done as part of her dissertation. So this is on stomatal functioning and its influence of calcium in blueberries. The co-authors were Lisa DeVetter from Washington State University and Bernadine Strick from Oregon State University, who helped Joy collect fruit samples for this particular study. Now, calcium, of course, is an essential nutrient in plants, and its primary function is in the cell walls and the plasma membranes of the cells. And what it does is basically it binds the cells together. Now, of course, it's important for cellular structure and holding plant tissues together. But during fruit ripening, it also needs to break down because as the fruit expands, the cell walls have to loosen, allow the fruit to increase in size and soften as it ripens. So it is important for maintaining that structure of the fruit. But it's also important that it breaks down over time. But cells that have high calcium tend to resist breakdown, and in crops such as blueberries, this helps with the firmness of the plants, and it can also reduce like infection from fungal pathogens or bacterial pathogens during storage. Now, its calcium deficiency is pretty widespread in many fruit crops, because some common examples are bitter pit and apple, or in lychee, you might see cracking in fruit. Another common example is blossom end rot. And it's real easy to see, if you don't have enough calcium, how those cells will break down in the fruit. And it often occurs in fruit because these are fast-growing tissues that don't transpire much, and the calcium moves through the plant, through the xylem, into the fruit. So organs such as fruit that don't transpire a lot tend not to accumulate calcium as well, so it's real easy to get these deficiencies. You might also see it in leaf tips, what's called tip burn. Lettuce leaf tip is a common symptom, and again, it's a low transpiring organ, so you don't get enough calcium, and consequently, the cells break down, and you get the necrosis happening. Now, in blueberries, we don't really see any obvious symptoms of calcium deficiency in the fruit. Blueberry, that's because blueberry is adapted to low pH environments. Low pH environments, you don't have a lot of calcium. They're called what's called calcifuge, means they're adapted to low calcium conditions. If you look at the calcium levels in the leaves, you see they range from, in a nice healthy plant, between 0.4 and 0.8%. Compare that to most temperate fruit crops, they're more in the range of 1 to 3%. So blueberry has much lower calcium. Look at the fruit. It's much, much lower. It's a whole order of magnitude lower. We're looking at only 0.04 to 0.06 calcium. So clearly, they don't have a lot of calcium in the tissues itself. However, calcium is a key component to the size of the fruit, how firm it is, and how well it stores. So growers are really interested in getting more calcium into their fruit, and they believe this is really important for the quality of it. Now, if you compare this to other cations, for potassium, for example, you can see that in the leaves, it's pretty comparable to calcium levels, about 0.4 to 0.7%. When you look at the fruit, the potassium in the fruit is very similar to what's in the leaves. So it was about 0.5% potassium in the fruit versus 0.4 to 0.7 in the leaves. So there's a lot more potassium in the fruit because other nutrients like potassium will move into the fruit via the phloem as opposed to the xylem. So as I said, calcium moves into the plant by transpiration. So you need transpiration for this to happen. And the amount of calcium that gets in is, of course, going to be dependent on how much calcium is in the xylem fluid. A lot of times in fruit crops, growers will spray calcium sprays. On apples, for example, they'll spray calcium sprays on the fruit to try to increase the calcium levels. In blueberries, this is attempted as well. But the problem with blueberries is they have a very waxy cuticle. So on the left is the electron micrograph at the green stage. And you can see the wax layer and the thick cutin layer. And here it is at blue, even thicker. So oftentimes we put on these calcium sprays and we really don't see any increase in the fruit itself. So what Joy wanted to do was to look at the relationship how to get the calcium into fruit. So look at the relationship of this transpiration or stomatal conductance in the plants and how much calcium is being taken up in the fruit and when it happens. So what she did is she went out and she collected fruit from various stages of development. She looked anywhere from petal fall to the early green stage, late green stage. So basically the berries go from a small green berry to a larger green berry. Then they eventually start changing color and start to ripen. We have 10% blue, 25% blue, and that's usually a stage that might be first-hand harvested. And then she did 75% blue, which is when the fruit would typically be harvested a second time, or maybe the first time it's harvested by machine. And at each of these stages, she measured the stomates that were on the fruit and how they were distributed. She measured stomatal conductance. And then she measured the accumulation of biomass and calcium in the fruit, as well as other nutrients. So here is what she did then. So for the stomatal distribution, she divided the berry into five different areas. So we have the calyx, or the styler end of the berry, and then she divided what happened here? Oh, didn't change there. Then she had the top 25% of the styler end of the berry, the upper middle, the lower middle, and the bottom. And what she did is she took nail polish, took a peel, which is a great way to look at stomates, put that under a microscope, and counted the number of stomates that were occurring on different parts of the fruit. And what she basically found was that most of the stomates tended to be located, and my pointer's not working here, is located on top of the berries. As you can see, so the white circles is the top, and you can see that we went from about 110 stomates per square millimeter at the petaphol stage, and then over time that gradually decreased as that berry expanded. And I compare that to leaves. Leaves have almost 500 stomates per square millimeter. The next highest was in the upper middle, but that quickly declined as that berry increased in size. The calyx, the little part on the top of the berry, had the next highest, and then there was very little basically on the peduncular end and the lower middle or the bottom half of the berries. Now, if we look at stomatal conductance, we saw a nice gradual decline in stomatal conductance. So what she did is she took a Licor LI-1600 pyrometer. She had to detach the fruit itself, but put it into the pyrometer to measure stomatal conductance at the various stages. And what you see, what happened was it started out at about 45 millimoles per meter squared per second. Compare that to a well-transpiring leaf, they're about 100. So it's about half of what a leaf would be. But as that berry ripens, that's the stomatal conductance declines. And by the time you get to the fruit coloring stage, the stomates are pretty much shut down. We're down to about 10 millimoles per meter squared per second. Typically, a leaf, when a very drought-stressed plant will have about 10 millimoles per meter squared per second. So the fruit at this point are practically not transpiring. And what you can see, if we look at the bottom here, at the early green stage, you see that the stomate is wide open. Well, over time, the wax starts accumulating on the berries and actually will cover the fruit. So on the right is the fruit coloring stage. You can see how that wax is starting to cover the stomate, and it's at that point where the stomatal conductance basically is down to about 10. Once you get into the blue stages of berry development, you can no longer see the stomates because there's so much wax on the fruit. Now, the other thing that could be happening, too, is that the xylem starts to break down. We know this from other – she didn't look at this in this particular study, but we know in other fruit crops that the xylem does tend to break down as the fruit tends to ripen. Now, if we look at calcium uptake and the dry weight of the plants, well, the dry weight increased in a typical double sigmoidal pattern. So you have between petal fall and early green, it's a bit slow. Then it rapidly increases in size as we go from the early green to the fruit coloring stage. And that's typically called stage one of fruit development. And then when we go from fruit coloring to 10% blue, berry development slows down considerably. That's pretty commonly called, that's called what we call stage two. It's at this point where the seeds are basically developing the fruit. And then as the fruit ripens, the berries expand, and again, we have a rapid stage of development. We can see with calcium also increases rapidly initially during those early stages of development. But once we get to the late green fruit and the fruit coloring stage, we see very little or no more calcium uptake occurring in the plant. So all of the calcium that's being taken up into the fruit is occurring at the initial stages of berry development. Late stages of berry development, we don't see that calcium being taken up in the fruit anymore. If we look at other cations, so here is a pretty busy graph, but what she did is she, on the left side, on the upper left, we have the dry weight, and we have how dry weight increased over time. We have stage one, stage two, and stage three, and on the right is the rate of uptake, or biomass development in this case, and you can see how it drops at the stage two. Well, with calcium on the lower left, again, so this was three different cultivars, three different locations, pretty much did the same thing. Once we reached that fruit coloring stage, there was no more calcium being taken up in the fruit. Compare that to potassium or magnesium, as I mentioned, moves into the fruit by phloem. Looks very much like dry weight, increases as dry weight increases. So it clearly... that you do get more potassium, magnesium going into the fruit at later stages, unlike calcium. So basically, stomatal conductance is obviously an important mechanism by which calcium is delivered to the berries, and that most of the stomata are located on the calyx end of the fruit. And most of the calcium uptake is occurring during early stages development in the fruit. But later stages, it pretty much stops completely, which is a contrast to what potassium magnesium does. So how do we manage calcium in blueberries is the question. Well, as I mentioned, calcium sprays are probably not very effective. There have been studies that were done in Chile increase in calcium in the berries as a result of this. I'm not sure if it was just simply calcium on the surface of the fruit itself, or actually if they got it on early enough perhaps. Calcium fertilizers could potentially work if you add it to the soil, but again, if you don't have the stomatal conductance going on, you're not going to get the calcium uptake. So what you need to do is you need to make sure you manage those plants properly. So you need to pay attention, for example, to your other fertilizers. Excessive potassium competes with calcium, which can inhibit calcium uptake. So you put too much potassium, that could be a problem. Too much nitrogen, you tend to get a lot of vegetative growth. That reduces your fruit nitrogen. Obviously, you need a healthy root system. A healthy root system, you're going to take up more calcium. You have to pay attention to irrigation. If you don't irrigate properly, you're going to have water stress, and that's going to reduce your calcium uptake. And finally, good pruning practices are important. If you undercrop, you actually get more vegetative growth and less calcium going to the fruit, whereas if you overcrop, you get small berry size. So with that, I guess I'm out of time. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you.